Welcome to Las Vegas Money Resource with Travis Scribner, Managing Partner of Westpac Wealth Partners. Travis Scribner is a registered representative, certified exit planner, and a financial advisor of Park Avenue Securities, LLC, 7 East Hanover Square, New York, New York, 10004, and Westpac Wealth Partners, 8906 Spanish Ridge Avenue, Suite 110, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89148. This show is for informational purposes only. Individual risk and investment objectives must be reviewed prior to making any recommendations. For more shows like the one you're about to hear, visit the website at LasVegasMoneyResource.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes for new episodes. And now your host, Travis Scribner.
Welcome to another episode of Las Vegas Money Resource. Your host, Travis Scribner, Managing Partner with Westpac Wealth Partners. In studio this morning, Mr. Doug Copsey, the president of Las Vegas Pharmacy. Doug, thank you for being with me this morning.
Thank you for having me.
You're battling a cold a little bit, it sounds like.
I am.
You're a little nasally. You're battling it.
Yeah, it's been a few days and might be an infection. Who knows? But I own a pharmacy.
You own a pharmacy. So if anyone is going to be okay when they're sick, it's probably going to be you.
Right. And I took my flu shot, so that helps, you know.
So you're good to go.
Yeah, I'm good to go.
We're going to get through this. Yeah. Doug, before we get into Las Vegas Pharmacy and what it is that you guys do, I'm obviously part of what you do is given away in the title. But give me some story of you, how you came to be in Las Vegas. Or did you grow up here, from here?
I was born in Los Alamitos, California, and I moved to Las Vegas in 1984 when my parents got divorced and my father got remarried here. And I went to...
Your dad was like a pioneer because he was like one of the early people to leave California to come to Vegas. And
yeah.
Now people are coming every day.
Right. And he actually came here to work for a plastic surgeon. His name is Dr. Koff. He was a world-renowned surgeon.
Wow.
That's how my dad came to be here. And that's how I came to be here. And I started in a Catholic school here called St. Francis.
Yep.
That was my elementary school. And I went on to Garside Junior High School.
Garside Gladiators.
My
alma mater of junior highs as well.
Junior high. And then from there I went
How cold was that pool? Remember having to swim in that swimming
pool?
Really?
No, I never had to.
Oh, they made us an MPE. So anyone who's from Vegas, like Garside was like the only junior high that had like a swimming pool.
Yeah, but I never swam in it. I never swam in it
That's
once.
That's really weird.
I
went
there both
us.
Years, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they started like you were a couple years before me.
I was probably there. I mean, I probably was there in 89 and 90.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, we had the pool when I was there, and it sucked.
Right. And then from there, I went on to Bonanza High School, which I graduated in 1995. And from there, I went to UNLV, and I got a degree in biology from UNLV.
So you stuck around, man. You're Vegas, not born, but Vegas bred.
No, Vegas is my hometown. I love Las Vegas. Why would you want to live anywhere else?
Right. God, you and I are going to get along just fine. Right. Did you think about going anywhere else for school?
No. UNLV was a good school, and I wanted to be a marine biologist, but those dreams kind of faded when I got introduced to my wife and then eventually married because there's really no money in marine biology.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. So you go and get a biology degree. Like, what did you want to do with that?
Well,
you wanted to be a marine biologist.
I did. So I'm a big scuba diver and an avid fisherman. And so I thought, well, I'll become a marine biologist.
Why do you live in the desert? You live in Vegas. Wait a second.
Exactly. And so that when I met my wife, I thought, well, I need to make money. So that kind of went
wives
to the wayside,
money.
Right?
Yeah, wives.
Yeah, wives take money.
Wives require money.
So that went to the wayside. And I kept fishing at Lake Mead in Lake Havasu and down the Colorado River. And a lot of people don't know there's a beautiful lake and river system right here, you know, an hour away from us. So I spent a lot of time there.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time there.
We need to let Brennan know. He likes to fish. You know, one of the guys in my office, he's like driving to Utah all the time, but
apparently,
he could just.
Oh, there's great fishing. You got Lake Mojave and you got Lake Mead and you got Lake Havasu. And if you want to drive to Lake Powell, and then you have everything in between.
So you know.
Yeah, it's
great. We could turn this into like an episode
fishing
about
show,
fishing.
If
yeah,
you
like,
want. Yeah,
like,
I've been fishing like, my whole life.
Like,
yeah.
This is an easy conversation for me. Yeah. So marine biologist was what the original dream was.
Was my dream, yes.
And then you meet your wife. Did you meet your wife in college or after college?
She wasn't in college, but I was in college, yes.
Okay.
She was doing physical therapy at an office. She was a massage therapist and kind of just hit it off. It just worked, you know?
And that was that, man. You said, okay, now I got to get a real gig. So how did you decide what to do from there?
I didn't. My parents were my parents had a business, and it was a medical consulting company, and they were running doctor's offices. And so I had quit Tiburti Fence. I had worked for Tiburti Fence Company. At this time, and I had quit.
We got like a lot of like Las Vegas like old school things like worked into the show already.
Yeah, and so my dad was like, "Well, why don't you come do stuff for us?" And I'm like, "All right, I got nothing else to do. I'm in college, and I'm I need to make money still. I have to work." And so I went and worked for his medical consulting business for many years and ran doctor's offices, managed doctors and their clinics, did their payroll, did their collections, their money, and stuff like that.
Which they desperately need.
Well, yeah, and most doctors, good doctors, don't really need to be businessmen. They need to just focus on taking care of patients, which is what they should do. But the ones that cross over, those practices are a little tougher. So yeah. It was good. It was a good learning curve for me, and I met a lot of people, you know, I guess influential people, you'll call them. So that helped me a lot.
Was your plan to just continue working for your folks and maybe like take over that business or?
Well, I did it for a long time and then the pharmacy business came up and actually I borrowed the money from my folks to start that business. You know what I mean? And so I had a lot of influence from my mom worked for Valley Bank, which is now Bank of America, which is if you're old school Las Vegas, you remember Valley Bank?
Remember Valley.
Yeah. And so I got a lot of knowledge financially from her and my dad was just a naturally good businessman, even though I think he wanted to be a doctor ultimately, but his business, he had good business instincts. And so I just learned from those two. So my finance and how I run my life or even my business, I learned probably most of that from my parents.
Which is awesome to have that, those role models at home that you were able to learn from.
Right.
And it sounds like you probably picked up some of that entrepreneurial spirit from seeing your dad.
Exactly, I did. Yeah, some days I think, well, why am I doing this? Why aren't I a marine biologist? But other days I'm like, okay, this is good for my family. But
to
give up your dream like I did in marine biology, sometimes I still think about it.
Do you really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess it's tough, right? Because, I mean, it's still kind of calling to you like, hey, this is what you originally, what would you have been doing as a marine biologist?
Sitting on somewhere studying some organism. I don't know. Who knows? or maybe a college professor, but I didn't have any dreams of working in college. So it's okay. I'm happy where I'm at. I've done really well for my family, and that's all that matters. I have a young daughter. She's 7.
Okay.
And I've been married 15 years to my wife, and so I like it. Everything's going well.
Life turned out exactly as it was meant to turn out.
I guess.
The universe unfolds as it should.
It did, right? I'm in a good place where I'm at, so everything is...
So did you... So it's funny, because you wanted to be a marine biologist, but your dad was an entrepreneur your whole life.
Yeah.
So you were seeing that. Did you think there was any chance that like you would want to go like, you know, the business owner route seeing your dad? Or was it always like, hey, that you essentially kind of fell into doing it?
I actually rebelled against that as a kid. I didn't want anything to do with
you're either
my
like
family.
All in with what your parents do or you're like totally
right.
against
and
it.
I was like, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be my own guy. You know what I mean? But ultimately, I kind of fell into that same role.
Yeah.
Unknowingly. I mean, it just over time, over so many years, it's just that's how it came to be. And I don't know how to explain it. I look back and I'm like, I don't know how I got to that path. It's just one day I lived here and then I was here and then 15 years went by and I, you know.
You just kind of wake up one day and like you almost have like blackout PTSD. Right. Like, the early years, like, how did I even get here?
Yeah, I'm in my early 40s, and sometimes I'm 40. I thought I was 20. I wake up, I'm like, am I 25 or 40?
I do it all the time. We'll be watching something on TV, and I'll see like somebody's age, and they'll be like, oh, 42 or something. I'm like, that guy looks way older than me. And then I'm like, well, do I just look that old now and I don't get it? Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, wait a second.
I see that on TV too, or somebody will pass away and they'll bitch. I'm like, whoa, somebody's dirty dying in their 40s.
Yeah.
I'm like, scary.
We're right there. Yeah. We'll be back with Doug Copsey, the president of Las Vegas Pharmacy, after these messages on Las Vegas Money Resource. Welcome back to Las Vegas Money Resource. Your host, Travis Scribner, managing partner with Westpac Wealth Partners. With me this morning, Doug Copsey, the president of Las Vegas Pharmacy. So, marine biology, you put your dreams aside, start working for your dad, running that, we're helping to work inside that company. And then where does it come along that you say, you know what, I want to strike out on my own. I want to start my own gig.
Well, I was doing the consulting for the doctors and realizing, you know, there's a lot of prescriptions going out there. And I had met my partner, Lori Ortel. She was a pharmacist at Smith's right behind us right here, right on Sierra and Durango.
Okay.
And my grandpa actually was a customer there, and he was very ornery and kind of an angry man.
That's what grandpas do.
Yeah, right. And so she would actually call and say, your grandpa's here yelling at us. And that's how, and that's how that became.
How did you become the point of contact that they would call?
I would go to my grandpa's house every day for many years and give him his insulin. Uh-huh. He denied the fact that he was diabetic.
Uh-huh.
And that old school generation, like, I'm not diabetic. I'll eat a gallon of ice cream. I'll do whatever. So
I got in the dream.
Yeah, so I got into this routine every morning before work. I would stop there and I'd check his blood sugar and I'd give him a certain amount of insulin or I'd try and chase it. I mean, that's the wrong way to do it. That's not how you do it. But at least he got something out of it. But so I would be at his house, which he lived right here, right around the corner from us here too. But she would call and be like, your grandfather's in here yelling at us because we didn't get, and I mean, in profanity too, my grandpa would be screaming. And so that's how I met Lori. And,
it's great. As you get older, you can just like do whatever you want. Like you reach a certain age, you can just like act crazy and people are like, oh, you're just old.
Well, she's very calm. She's like from the Midwest and she's like, whatever, I can put up with this. Yeah. I don't know. And most people were scared of him and he was just an angry old guy. But That's how I came to meet Lori, and we got together, and actually it was my dad that kind of built the whole foundation of this. We all sat down, and Lori's like, well, I first started doing attorney liens with the pharmacy. Yep. So if people were in car accidents, I'd fill their prescriptions and carry the cost yep. of it until the end of the case. That's how I got involved in this. That's when we started doing it in 06 when we opened Las Vegas Pharmacy. And so that whole concept was kind of my dad's thing. Where yeah. he was his idea in his head. And so I just kind of took it and ran with it. And Lori came along, and Lori didn't know what it was at the time either. I remember being at the pharmacy board meeting. I had to go in front of the pharmacy board to get a license. And we explained to him what we were going to do. And I'd explained to him where I was going to get the money. And you have to explain everything yeah. to the pharmacy board. And they laughed at us. They thought it was funny. They're like, you'll be out of business in a couple of years. And that was 06. And so now,
jokes on them.
Well, just about now every pharmacy in town does what I started doing in 06. You know, they're all doing it now. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that was kind of, and Lori was actually the boss of regional manager, and the head of the board at that time was underneath her.
Oh, wow.
He was on the panel that day. And it was just funny to watch the reactions yeah. of them. And even Lori didn't understand attorney lien stuff, so she was skeptical.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty yeah. interesting conversation. You're like, hey, leave this lucrative job where, you know, right. you're the regional
right.
to come with this unproven startup.
Right.
How
right.
was that conversation?
Like, yeah, it was crazy. And she saw that. She could see it, though. You could see it in her eyes. But she's like, I don't understand what you guys are totally talking about and whether or not it'll work. But there was, I think, one or two pharmacies in the whole city that was doing
wow.
that.
Wow.
And so when we started, it was, you know, it was pretty easy at first, you know. I mean, there was nobody doing it. And we put Lori in there being a great pharmacist
yeah.
that she is, that it worked really well. Patients loved her. Everybody liked her. It worked really well, you know, and it just kind of snowballed from there into what we are today. And now I'm even evolving it again because, you know, in business, you got to be changing. If you're not evolving and changing, you're going to die. And
100%.
So I'm evolving and moving and doing all kinds of new things.
How long was the conversation with her to get her to make a move? Like, I mean, I'm guessing that wasn't like an overnight conversation. Like, what was the process of that?
It took a while, and her husband had to be involved in it. Obviously, he's a coach at Palo Verde High
School. Oh, okay.
And they had it was a few week, probably a couple month process.
Yeah.
Like in there, you know, I don't even remember all the details. I remember the last meeting. She's like, fine, let's try it, you know. What do I got to lose, you know?
That good for her. Well, yeah. especially too, right? Like a lot of medical professionals aren't wired for like that kind of that kind of risk.
Right,
they're
right.
really not. Yeah. So to find somebody who had that good bedside manner that you liked, who could put up with your grandfather,
right?
And, yeah. and to be willing to walk away from what it was that
right.
she was doing.
And making great money. Pharmacists yeah. make good money, $60 an hour or more, you know, or whatever. And so as you walk away from great money to start this whole thing, and there's no real money up front because we got to wait for these cases to settle and do all this. And that stuff takes 2 years.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, yeah. when that was it, were you worried about that going in? That, you know, hey, like we need a long runway
yeah,
to make
did.
This thing
right,
work.
Right, yeah. So I was working the consulting thing with my parents at the same time. So I never took any money from Las Vegas Pharmacy for years. So I kind of did both along the way.
So you're doing
way.
Both to grow the company. Well, that's,
yeah.
that's it, right?
Right?
That's the type of sacrifice that I think, you know, it takes sometimes right. to get a business up and running. And, yeah. you know.
And Lori stayed there by herself most days. And did the front, the back, everything. I wasn't there.
Where were you guys located at?
Same spot, Sahara and Rancho. We've been in the same location since 2006.
Wow.
Yeah, we've rented the same space.
Since Sahara and Rancho, I mean, it's centrally located.
Right.
Right? So, yeah. I mean, it makes good sense, I guess, to be there.
And it's better now because somebody bought it from California and they've remodeled it. That whole center has David's Bridal in there. And McDonald's is in the parking yep. lot, and they've put all these Pizza Hut, Cafe Rio, and so it's really nice in there. For a period there, it was vacant.
Yeah.
And I was in there, and it, you know, there's bad lighting, and I remember some nights where my girls would leave, and it'd be semi-dangerous.
Yeah.
And so now it's become really nice shopping center. So there's good foot traffic in there for my business. And
it's nice. We were there right around the same time. My first office was on Sahara and Rancho in the U.S. Bank building
yeah.
Right by you. So, I, you know, you had the wow. McDonald's or what was it? Macaroni Grill.
Yeah.
Like your two options to yeah. eat.
And there was that seafood place.
Landry's.
Landry's. Yeah, that was there
That's
forever.
It. So we
yeah.
probably crossed yeah. over at the same time mm-hmm. when we were right next
sure
to each
we
other.
Did.
So you keep that same location. So no reason, like opening other locations or?
Well, what I've done recently is Lori and I have created another business called LeanRx. And I've gone to independent pharmacies in the city, such as myself. And I asked them to do liens for me, and I'm collecting those liens for them. Most pharmacies don't have the capability or the desire to want to collect liens that go out years,
yeah.
or potentially for a long time. I've had cases that go out a decade. But My new concept, LeanRx, that we created recently is I've gone to different independents in town, and they fill the prescriptions now on the Lean, and I will track them, collect them, market for them, collect the cases, and then I split my profit with them. That's what I'm now doing. That's my next evolution of spinoff of Las Vegas Pharmacy. So instead of me having my one central location, I have all these locations now to make it more convenient for patients to get.
Well, which is great too, right? Because now, not obviously, the onus isn't completely on you and your business, and then it makes it more convenient for others because you've essentially outsourced some of the labor from the actual prescription filling to these other pharmacies while you handle the back end.
And there's more profitability in it. The insurance, pharmaceutical insurance business now is being run by what's called a pharmacy benefit manager. They're taking all the profit out of it. So these little guys trying to compete with CVS and Walgreens, we're struggling because CVS owns their own PBM. They own their own insurance company. They own everything. They're control. You know what I mean? And so these little mom and pops trying to make a living nowadays in the independent pharmacy world are having a hard time. And so not only does it help my Lean business grow, but it helps them because I split everything with them. It's got to be fair up front. And, you know, I do 50-50 with everybody. So if they make a little more money and they can win a little bit, I don't need to be in competition with all my little guys. I'm in competition against that big guy.
Right, the big guys.
Yeah, that's my competition. So that's why I deliver for free. Most of my guys do deliver for free in my LeanRx companies. And those little independents is what I'm trying to get everybody to support, like the community here in Las Vegas. I don't want to – I want to take all the business from the big CVSs and Walgreens and put them in my little independents, you know what I mean? Because those are the community pharmacies supporting this area.
Those are local business owners. Yeah, that's absolutely it. We'll be back with Doug Copsey, the president of Las Vegas Pharmacy, after these messages on Las Vegas Money Resource. Welcome back to Las Vegas Money Resource. Your host, Travis Scribner, managing partner with Westpac Wealth Partners. Doug Copsey is with me this morning, the president of Las Vegas Pharmacy. Doug, you mentioned a really interesting point, I think, right? So you, like, when people think of pharmacies – I'm guessing 9 out of 10, 99 out of 100, your first thought is, you know, Walgreens, CVS, like one of those big players.
Right.
Right. I think a lot of people, especially those who are a bit younger, you know, older generations might remember going to their local pharmacy, but I think most younger people don't even really know that those exist for the most part. It's like they're used to the Walgreens and the CVS. How do these independent pharmacies compete with, you know, the 800-pound gorillas in the room?
Right, right. So the us little guys, what we need to do is service, obviously, is a huge thing. And free delivery is a huge thing for us. The 55 and older communities that I do business with, I spend a lot of time there. And I feel like a lot of their medications aren't quite managed well by themselves because they just don't know how. And so I'll go into somebody's house, and they'll have lots of medications, and the CVS, well, they just fill it, you take it, you go home, you deal with it. So Lori and I kind of have more of a system to where we want to manage what they're doing better so they can take their medications at a better, let me see how I need to say this, so they can take their medication more effectively and not just miss this pill and miss that pill and take these pills. So I spend more time with my customers than any big store would. And I have to. And I have to. That's the only way I'm going to keep my customers. So they can go to Walgreens. They can go to CVS. And, you know, they can stand in line. And they, if you call CVS or Walgreens, you're never going to get to talk to anybody. But if you call me or any of my independent pharmacies that I work with, you're going to talk to a pharmacist. You're going to talk to somebody. And I tell everybody that. And that's, I think that's very important for the older generation that's like, I don't understand all this. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be bothered with it. How do I just take my medication properly? You know what I mean? And so some people will have 10 or 15 different prescriptions they take.
Oh, yeah, easy.
You know, in a day. And that's hard to manage. You got 15 pills you're looking at. You're trying to put them in all those little containers and try and make everything work. So service is how I and the other independent pharmacies are going to take care of it. I can't compete with the PBMs that own their own. I mean, the big CVS's and Walgreens that own their own PBMs. I get paid less than they get paid for the same medication from their PBM. Is that crazy?
That's crazy.
So if I fill something, I could actually lose money from a Caremark, which is CVS. I can actually lose money for filling that, and they'll make money. How is that fair in the world? And okay, so
They're essentially trying to do that to drive you guys out.
Exactly. What they used to do is they would go in and buy us. They'd say, hey, here's X amount of dollars. I want to buy you. You get out 5-year non-compete, right? Now all they're doing is like, forget that. We're not going to buy these guys. Let's just put them all out of business. So that's kind of where this is.
Wow.
Seems like it's going. So all my independent friends, whatever I can do to enhance it, like my LeanRx company or whatever I can push their way. Or if I get a customer that I can't fill their medication or I can't do it, I want to put it to them. They're not my competition. They need to have it. So I'm trying to work hand in hand with the other little independent guys in the city and make it work, you know? And
well, you think back, right? So, I mean, you go back a generation, two generations, right? It was all local pharmacies for the most part.
Right.
That's what you needed, a prescription filled, you went to your local pharmacy. And then you see the rise of a Walgreens, of a CVS, and putting those mom and pops out of business.
Right.
And it's an interesting transition. We're actually seeing the same thing in the medical community, in the dental community, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot of corporate-owned dentistry now,
right.
as opposed to, you know, you went to your dentist, you had your associate, you had the dentist, whatever it may be. That's, you went to your neighborhood dentist.
Right.
Now you're seeing the rise of corporate dentistry, and you're seeing much fewer dentists, you know, move into that field. It's when I speak at the dental school, I'll make the reference to the pharmacist. I'm like, where pharmacy went is exactly where dentistry is going.
It is, right?
And you've got these big companies that are putting people out of business. I think what interesting about what it is that you're doing, as you were talking through this, I was thinking, I've got a client of mine who's a concierge doctor, right? And so, you know, you pay a subscription fee or whatever it may be, but you can get a hold of her on the phone, you can get a hold of him on the phone, whatever it may be, pretty easily, right?
Right.
That's essentially what you guys do from a pharmaceutical standpoint. It's concierge pharmacy.
Exactly. And I tried to use that name for a while. I tried to incorporate it, but that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to somebody. I spent a half hour yesterday with a patient who was an older lady, and I explained they wanted to increase her medication, the amount of milligrams. I had to explain this to her for a while. I had to stay there and explain it. I can't just be like, here's your stuff later. You know, I can't just throw it at them and walk out. So, those kind of little things I'll do, or I'll have them call Lori, who is the pharmacist, and say, you have a problem with an interaction or you want to talk. They call Lori and Lori talks to them. So that service.
You're not getting that anywhere else.
You're not going to, you can't call CVS and Walgreens right now. We'd be on hold for a half hour, maybe even longer.
Well, and then when you're picking up your prescriptions, I mean, they're just kind of giving them to you. Hey, here you go.
Yeah.
Best of luck. Godspeed.
Yeah.
Go do whatever it is.
Read the interactions
do.
On the paper I gave you. I don't have time because I'm supposed to fill X for this corporation that needs to do blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So the way I'm going to compete and the way I'm going to survive is that service part of my business. It's the only way I can do it. And the free delivery for the people that are 55 and over that don't drive anymore, that have to take a bus from, say it's a facility they're at, they have to take a bus once a week. That's not going to work. They can't do that. I will bring them their medications. So that helps them a lot. And then at that time, while I'm bringing their medications, and so when I get into these interactions, I actually like to call bingo at some of these places. I get involved. It's kind of fun. It's like, I'm not even working. I'm like, this is fun. I'm playing bingo, you know? And so it's been good. The community is good. And I love Las Vegas and I love the people here. So I hope that, you know, I can keep doing what I'm doing and, you know, make it work.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, hearing you talk about this, it was something I wasn't even familiar with, right? I mean, I think I'm sure a lot of people listening aren't. To know that that is an option, that, you know, you don't have to deal with the Walgreens or the CVS's of the world and waiting in lines and not getting a hold of anybody and not having a personal, you know, relationship with the people that you're dealing with. I didn't even know this was an option.
Yeah.
Right. To have something like this out there. Right.
Well, they say CVS and Walgreens, I've heard, is going to deliver, but they're going to charge you. I deliver for free. I don't charge you anything. I just bring it to your house. So I think this is a big help to a lot of the older communities, you know, and I've only been doing it kind of in my region because it's close and I can service them real quickly, but I don't mind doing it throughout the valley, you know.
Yeah.
And my lien stuff I still do with the attorneys and things like that, which is good, you know. And I enjoy doing that stuff too because I've been doing that a long time, you know. And some of those offices are really fun to work with. I get along good, and when people are injured, seriously injured, you know, there's a need for it, you know. And not always, not in every case, but, and if you have insurance, you know, we can bill the insurance and do that kind of thing.
How do you get the word out about, like, what it is that you guys do?
Manually. I literally physically just walk into places, and even in the 55 and older communities, I'll just stop and I'll talk to the directors of the places and I'll say, hey, is this something that you think you would need? And most of them say, yeah, there's customers in here. I call them patients, customers, but there's people in here that could use your service. And so it's just physically me going to do it. I mean, I do some social media marketing and stuff, but I don't think that's my target demographic because most of the older generation is not using that.
Yep.
And the younger generation doesn't really take any medication. I mean, it's not my target audience. So it's just a lot of physical work. Boots on the ground. Yeah. I don't even know what you would call it anymore. Cold calling. They used to call it cold calling.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of is. I mean, I love the engagement that you have for your business, though, that, you know, and you can hear when you speak about it, how passionate you are about what it is that you do, even though you've been doing it for 13 years. I mean, you're still you're pretty engaged.
13 years, Jesus, a long time. I know.
Goes by quick.
Goes by quick.
We'll be back with Doug Copsey, the president of Las Vegas Pharmacy, after these messages on Las Vegas Money Resource. Welcome back to Las Vegas Money Resource. Your host, Travis Scribner, managing partner with Westpac Wealth Partners. Doug Copsey, president of Las Vegas Pharmacy, with me this morning. So you started the Lean RX business, right? To essentially provide, you know, one, drive revenue for your company. I get that's a piece of it as well. But two, to also provide value to these independent pharmacists out there to give them a way to actually compete with the big boys.
Right. So my Lean RX company, what I do is the independent pharmacies I do work with, I call them partner pharmacies because we are partners in this. We'll fill prescriptions for people that have been injured in an accident and don't have insurance or maybe can't pay their copays, and we'll carry the cost at the end of the case. Once those cases are settled, I collect the money, and then I split that with my partner pharmacies, which helps them, another revenue source for them to try and stay competing in this whole market of big pharma, big business, big CVS companies coming and encroaching on everything, you know?
How many independent pharmacies are there in the Valley?
There's 10 of us in my Lean RX company alone, and I bet you there's at least another 25 or 30 in the Valley. I bet you there's probably 40 pharmacies, independent pharmacies in the Valley.
So that's a decent,
right?
That's a decent number.
Right. And there, a lot of them don't have the marketing dollars to be out there. People don't know about them. So they've set up shop and the people around them start to come, and maybe word of mouth. That's really how it is. It's hard to drive business.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask. I mean, obviously, I'm guessing you can't completely speak to you know, your partner pharmacies, but you know, there's 35, 40 others in town. Yeah. How are they surviving against these big players? Like, they, you know, because I think for most people, their default thought process isn't, let me go find this local pharmacy. It's like, oh, there's a Walgreens or a CVS on every corner. Let me just stop there.
Yeah, so convenience definitely plays a role in that. But all the independents that I know are hardworking, entrepreneurial, capitalist kind of thinking. They're struggling. They're making it work. They're doing this. They're doing that. They're up early in the morning. They're going to bed late at night. They're trying to make, you know, that whole, I'm going to make a better living for myself, the American dream. They're doing that every day, and they make it work, you know, whether you got to cut a cost here or make more money here or do my Lean RX company for a little bit more. They're just trying to balance out how they can do it. It's harder and harder every year. It's literally, 2018 was a hard year for reimbursements for independent pharmacies. Now, I don't know about the big guys, but they own their own thing, so I'm sure they did okay.
They did just
fine.
But
I can tell you categorically that independent pharmacies struggle in 2018 and 19 to make a buck on the prescriptions they are filling.
So you work with these partner pharmacies with the Lean RX company. Any thought behind, you've created quasi strength in numbers, right? You've brought some people under the umbrella, right? It's helping them, it's helping you, it's great.
Right.
Any thought, or you know, could be putting you on the spot a little bit here, about creating a more formal relationship with some of these local independent pharmacies, like actually bringing, like branding together, or, you know, you kind of uniting ownership or different things like that. Something that you've thought about before? Or is that like, are most of the guys just like, hey, I've got my own thing, I want to keep it my own thing?
Or, right. I think that independent pharmacies in the Las Vegas Valley can kind of group together, not ownership wise. I don't want to cross over ownership with anybody. They're their own corporation, but we could come together as a whole. A lot of pharmacists, it's just instinctual. Oh, that pharmacist is across street from me, he's my competition. That's how a lot of them still do think. And I say no to that, because the independent pharmacies, we should come together as a whole, probably buy together, do things together as a whole. Now, it can be some other, other organization that we create, you know, that goes together. But I think all the independent pharmacies in this city can come together and probably do some damage to the bigger corporations like CVS and Walgreens, and our service is way better, and our free delivery, you can't beat that kind of stuff. And in the personal one-on-one stuff that these pharmacies are able to do with patients that the corporate level's not allowing those pharmacists to do. Not saying those pharmacists at CVS can't do it, I just don't think they have time to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're running them ragged, and they're trying to fill X and Y and make everything work. So I do think there's something that can be done in the future with all the independent pharmacies. And so I talked to them all night.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you spearheading that then?
I'm not spearheading that. No, but I like to tell everybody how I feel. And so I don't want to like push any views on anybody, but I think we can all work together. And I think we should all share in what's going on in this insurance company or in that insurance company, or how we got reimbursed by this guy, or what's, even if there's a patient out there that may be doing something wrong and we don't care, we should be able to talk with each other and say, hey, whoa, 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 you know what I mean? And put the brakes on some of these things.
Well, I love one of the possibilities that you brought up was, you know, banding together from like a marketing, branding standpoint, whatever it may be. Like, you don't necessarily need ownership of one another stuff. No. But if you could come together from a marketing standpoint to get the word out of, hey, these independent pharmacies are out here. This is the type of service that you can get in working with them versus what it is that you're used to over here. Right. I don't know that anyone, for the most part, really has that personal of a relationship with their pharmacist at the big the big pharmacy.
Does anybody anymore?
No.
Do you know your pharmacist? No, because there's usually another one that comes in. But it's pretty nice when you can call my partner pharmacy, and I'll speak for all the independents. You could call them and talk to that pharmacist. They will talk to you. They're good people. They have a lot of knowledge in their mind, and they have a lot of knowledge to help patients, which I think was taken away from the whole pharmacy field with the corporate fill 1,000 prescriptions a day and go, go, go. You know what I mean? That's lost in that translation.
Oh,
same
yeah.
with doctors. Doctors are treating X amount of patients per day. It's hard for them. They have so much to fill up a whole day. You know what I mean? You used to spend, you know, a long time with your doctor, remember? I mean, I remember
like
that.
I forgot like the average like time that you see your doctor on a visit now is like 5 minutes or something crazy like that. The doctor's actually with you versus like someone else.
It's not even his fault. It's not his fault. He's got so much going on in a day anymore. It's crazy. And I know there's a bigger population and all that stuff, but I think the medical field, the healthcare field, needs to adapt and change to help people. You know what I mean? People are so worried about healthcare costs, you know, your cost of your insurance and things like that. But what about everyday people? They're like, I need to take my medication this way. I need help with this. No one's really there to help them. Yeah, you could probably go stand in line at CVS for an hour and you know, maybe get some help. I don't know. But the last time I picked up a prescription from CVS, they're like,
here you go.
Yeah, here you go. Bye.
Well, it's like the same as like getting a burger from McDonald's.
And I don't blame them. I'm not mad at them for that. I think that just that whole corporate thing, you know, like bigger. But that makes it, there's no personal interactions. There's nobody to talk to anymore. And I think the older generation likes that. They're not on their cell phone. They're not on Instagram. They don't, you know what I mean? I can't even call some of the patients. I got to go pick their prescriptions up physically from their house.
Wow.
They won't send me a picture of it. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? So, and that's okay because that is important. Because if not, they'd have to wait for the bus, take the bus, drive all the way there, stand in line, and then wait for it's like a 3-hour round trip, some people. 3 hours round trip to go get some prescriptions. I'll come get your prescriptions, take them to my pharmacy, fill them, and come back.
Yeah, which are potentially doing like once a month. Doug, if people want to, so the awesome service that you're offering, I think it's just for you, it's more people just need to know about it because there's real impact, there's real help that you can provide to people with the service that you provide. If people want to learn more about, you know, working with, you know, Las Vegas Pharmacy and you and your team or your partner pharmacies, what should they do?
Well, if you'd like to call, my phone number is 702-220-3906. Or you can come down to my location, and I'm at Sahara and Rancho across the street from the Palace Station. And I've been there since 06.
So if people want to learn any website or anything,
I do. I have a website. It's Las Vegas Farm. That's Las Vegas PHARM .com.
Okay. So they can call 702-220-3906, located Sahara and Rancho, Las Vegas Farm.com. I encourage anyone listening to this that, hey, you know, if you want better service around your medicine or your prescriptions or, you know, someone you can actually talk to, it sounds like it's an incredible service that you guys are offering.
Yeah, I try to help. We try to help people. It feels good some days when I do a good job for somebody that does.
Well, it's nice. You mentioned, right? I mean, it's real change or it's real impact that you're making in someone's life if, you know, when you're taking away a 3-hour commute, you know, every 3 weeks.
Or I'm managing their medication for them, or Lori's managing their medication for them in a way that it's easier for them and they understand, or they're taking it correctly.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't take their medication correctly, and that's dangerous. And so I like that when I can leave somebody's house and be like, all right, Lori got that person all set up. It's really nice. And they're very appreciative, appreciative. They're like, oh, this is what I get to do. It feels good. You know, it's kind of nice.
Awesome. Doug, I appreciate you being with us this morning. Thanks so much. You fall right in line with how I always end the show. I say, be good to one another. And that's exactly what you're doing for the community. So I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Take care. We'll see you soon on Las Vegas Money Resource.